and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. And it is a good life. It's the greatest life that a person could ever have, and that is knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Being able to serve God, being able to say, I know I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and that one day I'm going to see my Lord personally. You know, that almost sends chills up my spine when I think of that. When I think of one day I'm going to see God in person, I'm going to see Jesus Christ. And he knows me right now, but then I'm going to know him better. He knows everything about me now, but I'm going to know him better when I see him personally. And I pray that you're ready to see him. Now, we looked last time, and we were talking about Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine, and where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then we went on to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Well, if you're not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 says, what we're to do is speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, we spoke of this verse 19, as we looked at verse 18. But verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves. Well, I believe this part of verse 19 is not only speaking to us as individuals, but it is also speaking to us as a group of saved people who are to speak among ourselves, and that is attempting to edify one another, and to promote purity of heart by songs of praise. We're to have fellowship one with another, and we're to talk with each other, but we're to help each other. We're to teach each other. Some people know more about the Bible because they've been in the Bible longer, and that means they've studied the Bible longer than someone else. That person needs to be helping a brother or sister know more about the Bible. And as we do that, I found this out, that when I'm helping someone else to know more about the Bible, and that means knowing more about Jesus, when I do that, I find that I'm learning more. That as I'm teaching someone, that I'm actually continually learning. And so therefore, you're not only helping that other person who's possibly not been saved as long, or maybe that person has not been in the Scriptures as long as you have, or as much as you have, you're actually doing what you need to be doing as a brother or sister in Christ, helping that other individual know more about Jesus Christ, about the Heavenly Father, and about the Holy Spirit. And we just read about that in verse 18, about the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. Well, notice that we're to speak to ourselves. That means that we're to speak personally to the Lord, speaking to yourselves, it says. But once again, I believe that's not only speaking as individuals, but it's also speaking as a group. And this has the force of a command from God. And it is a matter of obligation on the part of Christians. And from the early beginning of the local church, praise was an important part of public worship. And it's designed to be to the end of the world. In other words, we're not to stop that. When I say to the end of the world, for us, the saved people, right now in this age that we live in, it's going to be until Jesus comes back for us and we go to be with him. See, nothing is more clear than that it was practiced by the Savior himself and the apostles of praising and singing and doing what God wanted them to do. In Matthew chapter 26, we read about this. This is when Jesus instituted what we call the Lord's Supper and what the Bible teaches. Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30. It says, And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Well, now you see, we're looking at the Word of God, and we've looked to this point, and we see that we are to do certain things, and we're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns, just as the Lord and the disciples did at the Lord's table. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. The Lord, I believe, joined in with singing. And I believe they sung a song of praise to the Heavenly Father. See, this practice of praising the Lord with hymns can be found not only in the early church, but also by the great body of Christians in all ages, singing to the glory of God, singing about His glory, singing about His greatness. And I've said this before, letting Him know that you know who He is. Well, notice, it says in that verse, verse 19, speaking to yourselves. Well, how are we to speak? The Bible says they're in Psalms. The Psalms of David were sung by the Jews at the temple and by the early Christians. You may not have known that. The singing of Psalms has constituted a joyful part of public worship in all ages. Now, they speak of the language of devotion. This is the hymns that are to be sung. They speak of the language of devotion at all times, and a large part of them are as well fitted to the services of the sanctuary now as they were when first composed. I think of Fanny Crosby, a great songwriter and a poet. The lady wrote over 8,000 songs, hymns, poems. Millions of them have been used. When I say millions, I mean millions of times these songs have been sung in churches. And God used this lady who was blind. You know, that puts me to shame, because I think, "Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, I'm limited, Lord, as to what I can do. I'm simply a human being." And then I think of Fanny Crosby, a person who was blind, but yet she wrote over 8,000 poems, hymns, songs that we still sing in churches today. She wrote these many years ago, but we're still singing them. We're still praising God because of someone who loved the Lord so much that she dedicated her life to praising God in song. I believe that we need to do the same thing. Oh, we may not be able to write. We may not be able to do as she did. But we can sing the songs that she wrote. We can sing them to the Lord. Notice, we're to speak in psalms and hymns. See, a hymn is a song in honor of God. Now, heathen songs were and are sung in honor of some god or goddess that does not exist. I could add that when a song is sung to some godless entity, that song is actually being sung to the devil. And I believe the devil rejoices when that takes place. When Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, a poem is signified, composed for religious services and sung in praise to God. Poems were common among the heathen, and it was natural that early Christians used them until realizing the poems of the heathen were godless. Now, it's not known for certain whether any hymns were composed by the apostles. And see, now, they could have been. There could have been hymns that they composed. And one thing is shown by Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, that there were hymns used in the praise of God as well as the Psalms of David. If it was right then in the early church to use such hymns, it's right now. They were not merely psalms that were sung in the early church, but there were hymns as well. And both brought glory and honor to our God in heaven. See, to get an idea of how the worship of God in song can be turned into the worship of the devil, all we have to do is look in the Bible. See, many churches have or are becoming places of entertainment. Even after the Jewish nation had escaped Egypt by God's hand, they turned away from God many times. One such occasion was when Moses had gone to the mount to receive the Ten Commandments. The people got restless and wanted to do things their way instead of God's. And if possible, if you have your Bible, if possible, turn with me in your Bible to Exodus chapter 32 to see an example of ungodliness seen in the church in the wilderness. And by the way, the word church means called out assembly. So we see there that when I say the church in the wilderness, this is a called out assembly of Israelites. And setting the stage for later called out assemblies. You see, any church today, that's what the word church means, a called out assembly. People who are called out for a certain purpose. It doesn't always mean the church that serves God. Well, in Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 4, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them." In other words, he received gold pieces at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Did you notice what the people did? The people worshiped the false god in the name of the Lord Jehovah. You see that in Exodus 32, verses 5 and 6, what we just got through reading. Well, some today in so-called in the so-called house of God think by using the name Jesus in a song makes that song a Christian song. Well, there are honky-tonk songs, if I could use that term, honky-tonk songs that have the name of Jesus in them. And there are all kinds of worldly songs that have the name of Jesus in them. And just because a song has the name of Jesus in it does not make that song a Christian or a Christ-like song of praise or worship. There is a group that not only uses the name Jesus in their name, they add the name Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Have you heard of that? That group is anything but Christian. Those people who belong to that church, a called-out group, belong to a cult. That cult has a choir that sings beautiful songs. They will even sing what true Christians recognize as good, godly hymns. When any group denies that the blood of Christ saves, then that group is a cult. I don't care how many good songs they sing. And to make it clear, the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, that's a cult. I pray that you do not belong to a cult. I pray that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and realize that it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that anyone goes to heaven. There's only one way, and that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "If you'll receive him, he will not turn you away. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's you. If you've never trusted him, you need to call on him today. "Lord Jesus, save me. I want to go to heaven. Save me right now. Thank you, Lord."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.